people in the Bible who ran away because of fear. And I say that because we need to know that our God is greater than any fear that we're going to face. You see, as time continues to evolve and things continue to change, situations change. And when things change, there's a level of our fear that will change along with it. God can take us through a situation and we've overcome a fear, but then something different happens and something new comes along, and instead of us trusting God, there's another level, there's another fear that comes upon us. Moses, God had a destiny for Moses. But at 40 years old, Moses did something wrong, and instead of facing Pharaoh, he fled and dwelt in the land of Midian. Midian was a desert area which was outside of Egypt, and he spent the next 40 years in a holding pattern. You see, when we run because of fear, it's not that God is not going to still use you, but he'll put you in a pattern where you're not able to really get anywhere, and you're held there until you come out of that fear and learn to trust God a little bit more. So Moses spent the next 40 years in a holding pattern, and God had to work some things out of Moses. There are times that God has got to work some things out of us before he can use us. Fear is one of those things that God has got to work out of us before he can use us. God has given us a task to go and make disciples of all nations and all people. And there are some people who don't want to go witness. They don't want to tell people about the Lord. But when you go tell people about the Lord, you are not confronting them. You're sharing information. But the enemy has people thinking that you have to confront them, because the enemy confronts us. You see, he turns things around to make us think the way that he thinks. But witnessing and telling people about the Lord is not confrontational. It is a fact of just giving information. Amen? So God had to work some things out of Moses, and Moses wasn't ready until he was at age 80. And at age 80, he was ready to go back and lead the Israelites. In Genesis, we read of the servant girl Hagar, who got caught up in a bad situation with Abraham and his wife Sarah. When Hagar became pregnant by Abraham, which of course was Sarah's idea, this created a big fight between her and Sarah. Now, I just need to stop there for a second, because I want to say something. Somebody can give you an idea, and you can be so successful with the idea that they gave you, they turn around and they start hating you for your success. Hagar didn't do this by herself. She was told and given the idea to go sleep with Abraham. And since Sarah was barren and Hagar was not, and when she had the baby, all of a sudden, all of this hate came upon her. Have you ever been in a situation where you're working with somebody and they give you some information, and you use the information as vital information, and you become successful? Something became a big hit, and then all of a sudden that person turns it around on you and starts going hating after you and doing things to you, despising you. It's amazing what the enemy will turn around that is actually for good and try to turn it around for bad. But anyway, Hagar ended up running away. But the Bible said, in the wilderness by spring, the angel of God told her, return to your mistress and submit to her. There are times that God will place you in a place. He will place you in a compromising and unpleasant position. He will place you in a situation where what you ran from, God will tell you to go back to it. You ran from it because of your fear, but God will tell you to go back to it. And why does God tell you to go back to it? It's because he has plans for you. You're looking at the obvious, but God has planned something already in your life, and he needs you to be obedient and go back to where you ran from. Amen. Although it was unpleasant, although it was extremely hard to do, Hagar faced the situation because she knew that God wanted her to do it. Some of us out here today are facing some difficult situations, and your insides, your carnal selves, are telling you, I am not going to do that. But you know deep down inside, God is pushing you and telling you and urging you and showing you, no, I need you to be over there where you don't want to be. I want you to talk to somebody that you really don't want to talk to. I want you to go work at this job instead of that job. I want you to witness to this person instead of avoiding them. Now, I'm going to say something, and it might not be nice, but it's the truth. You know, sometimes there are people in your life, you just wish they go to hell. You don't care if they go to hell. And you don't want to witness to them. But the Bible will tell you that you need to witness to that person that you despise. Because if that person lives and dies and goes into hell because you didn't witness to them, that's on your plate. That's on your plate. You don't have to like everybody, but you must love them. Because love conquers all. Like don't conquer all. Love conquers all things. We know the story of Jacob. Jacob stole his brother's Esau birthright. Now in the Bible, in Genesis 32, Jacob is about to meet up with his brother again. Why? Because God told Jacob to go back. Amen? And Jacob knew that if he goes back, that he would run across his brother Esau. Jacob hadn't seen Esau in over 20 years. Now, when Jacob stole his brother's birthright, Jacob had help. You see, there's some little things I want to put in here because I want you to understand how God works. How he does work. Amen? You see, Jacob had help. His mother helped him with the deception. His mother helped him with the deception of his brother Esau. But it wasn't the helper that was punished. It was the one that was going to receive the blessing that was punished. So there are times in your life when you've done something wrong, and the person who helped you do wrong is not punished. They're not caught, but you're caught and you're punished, and you have to face the music, as they say. But there's a reason why you must face the music, because there's a greater promise that God has in store for you than the helper. Amen. So Jacob is getting ready to meet his brother again, the one he stole the birthright from. So try to imagine the thoughts that are going through Jacob's mind at this moment. He's about to meet his brother face to face. He hadn't met him since he stole his birthright. How would you feel if the person that you ripped off, the person that you cheated out of the most precious possession that they would ever have, how would you feel if you was going to meet them the next day? Jacob was frantic. So he comes up with a plan. And Jacob's plan was to soften his brother up. So he sent people ahead of him, and he had all of these gifts to give. 100 female goats, 20 male goats, 20 rams, 30 female camels with their young, 40 cows, 10 bulls, 10 female and 10 male donkeys. He had this plan that he was going to soften his brother up. You think that maybe he did all of that he could sleep that night? He thought that maybe some of that would give him peace of mind. You know, when you gotta face something that you really don't want to face and you rather run than face it, you can't sleep at night. You want peace of mind, but Jacob had no peace of mind. He was pacing the floor. He was nervous. He was worried. His mind was racing because there was a great fear in his heart. What will tomorrow hold? What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my family? I don't know about you, but have you ever been in a situation where you had something big going to happen, quote unquote, the next morning, the next day? How were you the night before? Were you filled with anxiety? Were you filled with fear? Or did you just know that you could just trust the Lord and you could lay down and peacefully go to sleep? I know for myself many times that I face many situations on the next day. It's hard going to sleep. It's hard not to think of the possibilities. And the possibilities more than likely are negative than positive. I know that Jacob wanted to run. I know Jacob probably wished that he didn't have to face this the next day. Jacob realized that he was in a tough spot. Some of us have been in tough spots. Some of us continue to be in tough spots. But listen to what Jacob did. He prayed. This is the prayer of Jacob. And it was a prayer of deliverance. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said it unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all mercies and of all the truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hands of my brother, from the hand of Esau. For I fear him, lest he come and smite me, and the mother with the children. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. First, Jacob prayed to God. And he approached God not just as God, the creator, but he approached him as the God with a relationship with him. He said, you are the God of my father, and you're the God of Father Isaac. So he called unto God with a covenant relationship. He approached God and appealed to him on the ground of a sure and established relationship. Amen? How many of us have ever come and approached somebody with an established relationship? Most of us have. We come to our father and we say, Daddy. We come to our mother and we call them mommy. We come to our husband or our wives and we say, honey, sugar. You see, when you establish that relationship, amen, when you establish that, it minimizes all of the other gifts that you have to give, because the relationship is more. Listen to this. The relationship that you have is more than the gifts. The relationship that you have with God is more than the gifts. Amen? Jacob knew that. So he came to God as God the Father. Second, Jacob cast himself upon the sure word of God, pleading upon him because God told him about a promise. He said, God, you told me if I return to this country that you're going to bless me. There are times that God will tell you to do something, and in the midst of doing whatever it is that you're doing and you find difficulty, you can remind God that, God, you told me to do this. Remember, you told me to do this. I'm waiting for the blessing. I need your help right now. When God has directed you to walk, remember, you tell him about the promise that you listened to, the obedience that you had. As children, we can remember that our parents would tell us to do something, and they made promises to us. They said, if you get good marks in school, I promise I'm going to get you a bike. You go to school, you get the good marks. At the end of June, or whenever school was open, you said, remember, you promised me. When God promised you something, you can recall to God's remembrance. God, you promised me. You told me to walk this way. I walk this way. I'm encountering some difficulties right now, but you told me to come. God, you promised. God, he's there in the dark when we're alone in our thoughts. We're in our thoughts and our fears. That God is there. When Jacob was calling on God, all of a sudden, somebody came along and Jacob wrestled with him. That was God that Jacob was wrestling with. Theologian says it was a visible manifestation of God. Jacob himself would say, I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. There are times you're going to go through some things. You're going to wrestle. You're going to wrestle with the things that God has told you to do. Because he's not going to tell you to do easy things. God will tell you to do some hard things. But when he tells you to do hard things and you don't understand, you can wrestle with God. You can wrestle for understanding. You can wrestle for peace. You see, in spite of all the failures of Jacob, God was there for him in his time of need. Jacob was a liar. Jacob was a deceiver. Jacob stole. But still, in his time of need, God was still there for him. In his fears, God was still there for him. But see, God didn't show up to confront him, to comfort him. God came to confront him. You know, many times you call on God and God calls to confront you. Have you ever had a confrontation with God? Have you ever thought that you wanted some peace, but you got confrontation? Confrontation comes because God wants you to pick yourself up and look to him. God will tell you to pick your head up. He says, look to the hills, to where your help is going to come from. I want to know this morning, is God confronting you today? All of the things that we've been through in the last few months, all of the things that you've been through in your life, all of the things that you've been going through, has God been confronting you? There are times that God confronts you because he wants to prod you. He wants to mobilize you. He wants to get you to move. But we sit in fear. In fear of what? What are we sitting in fear of? Are we sitting in fear of man? Are we sitting in fear of the enemy? The battle has already been won. Victory is ours. The path that God takes us during this promise, it's not always a straight path. We like to look, you know, the straight path is the quickest way. It's the easiest way. But the path that God sometimes puts us on is not straight and it's not easy. It is twisted. A lot of times there's a lot of thorns in the path. A lot of times there's a lot of opposition in the path. A lot of times storms are going to come. A lot of times our fears are going to be confronted. If you're fearful of bugs, when you go out in the park for a walk, what are you going to see? You're going to see bugs. If you're fearful of rats or dogs, when you go out and you walk around, what are you going to see? Rats and dogs. Do you know why? Because what you fear is what you're looking for. And when you look for things, you're going to find it. The enemy will place those things right in front of you. God allows our path to be difficult because he intends on refining us and preparing us for a place of promise. He is intent on extracting us, which when he extracts us, he pulls us away from the thing that the enemy loves to manipulate against us. Do you know that your fear that you have, the enemy uses that and manipulates that against you? Amen. This morning, I want you to know it's time to stop running. The reason why I say it's time to stop running, because there's only one person that I could think of in the Bible that was given a silver spoon. You know, there's times that we look at people, and we tend to look at rich people, and we say, oh, this person was born with a silver spoon in their mouth because they might have money. Or a silver spoon because they're able to do things that we're not able to do. You know, as children growing up, we think that the other kids got silver spoons because when you go on your trips or you go with your class, they got money seemingly to buy all the little toys and souvenirs, and we don't. We think that they got silver spoons, but there are no silver spoons. And in the Bible, there are no silver spoons. I can only think, like I said, I can only think of one person that had a silver spoon. And that person was Adam. And he messed that up for me and for you. You see, when Jesus Christ was born, the Son of the Living God, he wasn't born with a silver spoon in his mouth, although he was the Son of God. But he knew that he had the promises of God to stand on. He had the promises of his Father to stand on. God has called us to be people who no longer run away from difficult situations, because God doesn't want us to be afraid. He wants us to be bold. He wants us to be courageous. He wants us to know that we can handle anything that comes our way. Anything that comes our way. And I want to put this on record right now. It is easier said than done. Easier said than done. But if you can accept that God will give you revelation knowledge, that God will bring to the forefront whatever you need to have that peace, if you trust in him, he'll give it to you. He'll bring it to you. Because God is a provider. The Bible says, little children, you are from God, and you have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You see, all of our lives, the lives that we're living right now, all of the lives that we're living right now need areas of changing. At some point, from here until the day that you die, your life is going to need to demonstrate some faith and some courage. The Bible commands us to have faith. It commands us to have faith. It also challenges us to have courage. You see, courage is the ability to do something that frightens you. Courage is the ability to do something that you have strength to do in the face of grief or pain. You see, in Deuteronomy 3 and 16, it says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes before you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." It does not say be strong and have faith. It says be strong and be courageous. See, faith is saying that you believe that God is in control and nothing's going to happen without God allowing it to happen. But being courageous means that you step out into those areas that you might find fearful. That you step out in there and you do what God has chosen you to do. Faith is having complete trust and confidence that God is going to be in control, that there's a strong belief. Fear discourages you and debilitates you. It robs you. When Joshua took over for Moses, Joshua was a little fearful. But God said, "Moses, my servant is dead. You can't look to Moses any longer. He's dead. But be strong and of good courage. Today, look at whatever your fears are." You know, when we have somebody else to look up to, and we have other people to take over for us and to cover us, we don't fear anything. But as we go through life, things change. But you have to look to the Lord, your God, and he's going to tell you, be strong and of good courage, that you have to step out on uncharted waters where you didn't want to go before because you were scared. You feared what would happen. It is time for us to get courageous and lose the fear. The key to developing faith is to be courageous. Anybody, when you're not doing anything, can have faith. I'm going to say that again. If you're not doing anything and you're sitting back doing nothing, it doesn't take a lot to have faith. But when you step out and you're courageous and you start doing things outside of the fear that you have, your faith helps you overcome that fear. Your courage overcomes that thing that you were fearing. You have to be courageous and you have to have faith. The more courageous you are, your faith will increase. Because you're putting yourself out in situations that you had fear. Those people in the Bible that I chose to speak about this morning, I want you to know that they ended up in the wilderness until they confronted their fear. Some of us this morning are in wildernesses because we won't confront our fear. You have to confront your problem, or you could choose to stay away from it. You can choose to not confront it, but you'll always be in a wilderness. If you want to get out of the wilderness, confront your fear. It's time to FaceTime your fears. We're all on the phone right now, and the iPads and the computers, and we're FaceTiming everybody. It's time for us to FaceTime the fears that we have. But I want you to know this morning that in your moment of fear, that God is there. These stories and these people in the Bible, God didn't leave them in spite of what they did or they thought, or how much they feared, or how much they ran. You can't run from yourself. Don't you know that? You're stuck with yourself. And the only way to get over yourself and overcome your fear is to step out and trust God. So here's my question to you this morning. Are you in a wilderness today because you are fearfully avoiding confrontation? Are you in a wilderness this morning because you refuse to be courageous and step from behind whatever you're hiding behind? Are you in a wilderness this morning because you choose to run because it's easier? And it's only easier right now. It won't be easier later on. Because as you continue to run, when God wants you, He will place you in a position where you can't run. Do you know that God might be confronting you today in your current situation because God is preparing you for a greater calling? Sometimes, and many times, the only way to get rid of the fear that you have is to face the weaknesses that are inside of you. It's the weaknesses that are in you that causes you also to fear. You don't have to stay there all of your life. You don't have to continue to stay in the wilderness. You don't have to keep running away from things. You see, you can get out of that wilderness today, and you can live in the promises of God today. So many people believe that the promises of God are for eternal, but God promises for right now too. There's promises of God for today, and there are eternal promises of God for tomorrow. Are you living your life just waiting for tomorrow instead of today? If you confront whatever it is today, you start living your best godly life today. You start standing on the promises of God. You can remind God, God, I'm standing on your promises. And this situation I'm going through, I need your help because you told me, Daddy. The Bible says, start confronting your issues today. It says, this is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9. Let us stand this morning.